Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, hi guys, welcome to Taking the Mikel. It is our offshoot of the Obi-Wan podcast made possible by BetWinner. We're all going to make you wait for a special one. It is the special one, episode 7 of the Obi-Wan podcast. That is upcoming Monday, December the 18th. But it's myself, Chris McCarty. John Obi Mikel is back. He's the boss man, John. How are you, buddy?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Well, yeah, that's a lie. That is a lie.
Well, not very near. I'm not great after war. The past 20 minutes, yeah, it's been a shite weekend, isn't it?
Right, let me let everyone in on a little secret. We're recording this Taking the Mikel edition literally 20 minutes after the full-time whistle has blown at Goodison Park, where Everton have beaten Chelsea by 2-0. Two successive defeats, John, midweek against Man United at Old Trafford. They've gone to Goodison Park a little earlier. They've been beaten again. I'm going to say it, John, you're a backer of Mauricio Pochettino.
Yep.
Are you still a backer of the man?
Well, listen, I'm still a backer of the man, but then I will say it's time we start taking responsibilities, isn't it? I mean, we keep talking about the building process. We have to give them time. We have to give the players time. We have to give Mauricio time. I understand all that. And I've been one of the biggest backer of Mauricio and what he's trying to do, his idea, his philosophy of how he wants the team to play. But it's about time we start winning. We start turning whatever he wants to do, his idea, into winning. We have to start winning games. We have to start competing. But right now, we're not doing that.
I've got the stats in front of me. Last 8 games, going back to the 2-2 draw against Arsenal, you led that game 2-0. They pegged you back at the bridge to draw 2-2. Since then, you've won 2, you've drawn 2, you've lost 4. That's 8 points in 24, John. It's not good enough.
It's not good enough. I mean, it's, you know, we've been in games where we should have won games, and we've been in games where I look at the team and I'm like, what are we actually doing?
Yeah.
You know, we keep talking about the process. We keep talking about a building process. There is no identity of how the team wants to play. I'm a big believer of giving a manager time. You know, how many managers are we going to have in the team? I'm not a big believer of sacking managers right, left and center. Obviously, we've done that. You know, Frank has come and left. You know, Graham have come. And now, Poch, we need to give him time. But at the same time, we need to start winning games.
But John, you're 12th. You're 12th.
I know we're 12th.
And I said to you as we were coming in to record this podcast, full preseason he's had with that squad.
Yeah.
No European football. And yet, apart from one or two moments, the City game a few weeks back, where they looked good, they were great for an hour against Arsenal.
Yeah.
It's simply not good enough. There's been £1 billion spent on that squad.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only game that I can say when I look at the team and I look at it and I say, okay, this is Chelsea, was the City team, was the City game where I looked at the team, I was like, okay, they were good at the game and we managed to get a draw. But apart from that, when I look at the team play all throughout this season, really, I haven't really seen that much of you know, an identity, an idea of how we want to play moving forward, going forward. Is it, are we just going to sit on the fence where we say, okay, we are still in a rebuilding process, blah, blah, blah. There is no time for that. No. We need to start winning games. We need to turn, whatever it is, we need to turn it around. We need to, but when I look at the team again, it comes down to leaders.
Yeah.
I looked at the game today. You know, I was watching the game today and I looked around the pitch. There is no single leader.
Not one.
There is no one that's going to come out on the pitch and, you know, go at a player, go at your colleague and say, listen, wake up. What are you doing? Come to you, scream at you. Yeah. This is what we had before when John Terry, you know, back in the day when we used to play the likes of Didier Drogba, John Terry, Frank Lampard. When you're having a shit game, these guys will make you wake up. You know, they will come right in front of you, grab you by the neck. Whatever they have to do to make you wake up, you have to wake up. I look at the team today, all around the pitch, including the manager, I didn't see him scream at not one of the players
nope.
to say, do your fucking job, wake up, and make sure you run around and make sure, you know,
you win this game. You're doing the basics. You're doing the basics, John. The other thing as well, your skipper, Reece James. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Reece.
Yeah.
He's got all the tools. You know, for me, if he's fit, he's one of the best right-backs in world football. He's got all the attributes. He can't stay fit. He's taken off with a hamstring injury. Levi Colwell's brought into the game after, what was it, 27 minutes or so. That boy's got to stay fit. If he's the captain, you need your captain on the pitch more often than not.
Exactly. You need that's you've said it all. You need your captain on the pitch. And yeah, he's just come off. He's just come back from a long layoff injury, and now he's back, and now he's injured again. You need your captain fit. You need your captain on the pitch, and we haven't had that. We don't have that. We don't have a captain who's on the pitch. We're talking about leaders. That's what JT did for the club for decades. You know, he was always on the pitch, even when he was injured.
Yeah.
Broken toes, ankle injury, injections, treatment. He always wanted to be on the pitch because it was his job as a leader to be on the pitch, to lead the team, to make sure that we win games, we're successful. And I look at the team today, I don't know what's wrong with, you know, with Reece. I'm a big fan of Reece, but he needs to be fit. Whatever's wrong with him, whatever's causing those injuries, we need to figure it out and make sure he stays fit. Because when he's fit, like you've said, he's one of the best right back on the planet.
I look at this Chelsea 11 tonight, and I'm being a bit harsh here, but I'm going to do it, John. I'm going to go through this team and you tell me. Give me a verdict, truly. Robert Sanchez, big fan. Of course, Graham Potter had him. He believed in him at Brighton. Obviously, didn't bring him to Chelsea. It was the kind of recruitment regime that did. Robert Sanchez, great with the ball at his feet. I've still got a bit of a question mark about him as a goalkeeper. Yay or nay for you?
Not really great on his feet for me, though. I haven't seen him really with that great with his feet on the ball. Shot stopper, I wouldn't say so as well. So for me, he's one of those where I say, you know, he was a hit and miss and still is.
Okay, Reece James, we both like. He's just going
to
get fit.
Yeah, he needs to be fit. He needs to stay fit.
Mark Cucurella. I mean, an awful lot of money spent on this boy.
Yeah.
We are aware that he's had one or two off-field issues. And that's obviously impacted him settling into the football club, but he's not Chelsea standard.
No, it's not Chelsea standard. I wouldn't say that. I mean, when you look at the left backs that we've had, he just says, you know, Ashley Cole,
William
and then
Gallus.
Aspilicueta, William Gallagher. Exactly. So you're talking about these players that who stayed in the club for many years, played so many games, won a lot of trophies, and the standard that they've set for that position, for me, he's not a Chelsea standard.
It's the two French boys in the middle, or it certainly was a little earlier. You've got Benoit Badiashile, as well as Axel Disasi. I mean, honestly, John, are they up there with the very best?
No, I wouldn't say that. Look at the centre-backs we had before, you know what I mean? The John Terrys, the Ricardo Cavallo, the Alex, you know, the Galax. Look at those players. You know.
Alex. I've not heard his name.
Alex as well, exactly.
I've not heard his name.
The big
name
Alex
mentioned.
From Brazil. I mean, he was a fucking unit, mate. I'm telling you.
Was he?
He was big. Good on the ball. Very, very good on the ball. And also defensively, very, very good. So when you look at those centre-backs that we've had, and you look at the centre-backs we've got today, come on, you need to compare those. I think they're not up to standard.
And then you've got two blokes that cost the football club over 200 million quid. I mean, I'm a huge fan of them both. I think there's players in both, Enzo Fernandez and Moises Caicedo. It's just, are they victims of the fact that they don't have a settled side, Chelsea or Enzo? Or am I being a bit too lenient on them? Do we expect more from both Enzo and Moises?
I think we do expect a lot from them. I think we expect more from them. I think, like, you know, I'm a big fan of Caicedo as well. I keep saying, you know, I need to see him put in those performances that he has, that he did while he was at, you know, Brighton. But again, when you look at it as well, you're going to say, no disrespect to Brighton, what was Brighton a much smaller club where he feels his performances are looked at that certain high standard. And now you're playing for a club like Chelsea where we depend even way more than you did for Brighton. And can he go even that step higher? I don't know if he has that in him, but I'm still a big fan of Caicedo. Fernandez also, I mean, Argentina had a great World Cup and then he came to the club for over 100 million. Was it 100 million? Something like that.
105 million.
105 million. So, you know, two really good players. I think those two are going to be good. They need time.
They need time. A quick one, in actual fact, because you raise an interesting point there.
Yeah.
What is it like? Obviously, you came in the early part of your career to Chelsea, so I'm looking at you slightly differently. Once you left Chelsea, you had your stint in China, you came back with Stoke, you were in Middlesbrough as well. How really different was it to Chelsea? You've mentioned there Moises. He was maybe comfortable being at a smaller club.
Exactly.
And then the step up, you're like, holy shit, this is just a different world.
Yeah.
You did it the opposite way. You went big early and finished off. With the greatest of respects to Stoke and Borough, they're just not on Chelsea's level. How was the drop-off in intensity, John?
Oh, it's massive. It's massive, mate. I'm telling you, it's massive. You don't know until you are in that situation whereby you're coming from a club like Chelsea and then going to a club like Stoke. I mean, like you've said, no disrespect to Stoke, Middlesbrough.
And Tony was brilliant.
Exactly,
you love Tony Pulis.
Yeah, I love Tony Pulis. You know, I had a fantastic time there. You know, the people at the club were fantastic, both at Stoke, Middlesbrough, Kuwait, China, where I played. So for me, when you leave a club like Chelsea and you go to those places, the drop-off in terms of, you know, where you are from and then going to a club like Stoke, which, no disrespect, but again, coming back to Caicedo, being at Brighton and having those performances, you know, for a smaller club. And then coming to Chelsea now, you know, you now come to a club whereby, okay, now I'm at Chelsea, I need to put in even bigger performances.
And the price
tag.
You know,
exactly, the price tag. The world is watching you now. A lot of people are watching you. You're now playing for Chelsea. It's about how can I, again, bring out those performances.
Yeah.
Even if you bring out those performances that you were bringing out when you are bright, it might not be enough playing for Chelsea. You need to go a step higher. Does he have that in him to go a step higher? That's a problem. We wait and see. I kind of see a little bit of development in his game. You know, sometimes, you know, it's a little bit hit and miss right now. But we need to see consistency in his performances. That's what we need to see. Both him and Fernandes, we need to see consistency.
Then there's the three ahead of those two. If we come back to this starting 11 from the Everton game, you've got Cole Palmer, who's set the world alight. You know, I say set the world alight. Listen, he's been good in a struggling Chelsea team.
Yeah,
you've got Conor Gallagher.
I think anyone can be good at a struggling
You're right. You're absolutely right. You know, when I say set the world alight, it's not as if he's a goal a game man, but he's come in, he's had an impact. Conor Gallagher, I've got my own thoughts on Connor. I think he's a great player. Do I think he's Chelsea quality? No, I do not. And then Mykhailo Mudryk, who is just a fish out of water.
Oh, he had a stinker today.
He's not at it, John.
No, he's not at it today.
He's not at that level.
I mean, Gallagher, like you've said, I mean, when I look at Gallagher play, I think he's, like you've said, you know, he's a decent player. He's a decent player. Is he a Chelsea midfield kind of player?
Starting 11 for
Chelsea. Starting 11. I mean, back in the day when we were playing, I mean, would a Gallagher get into the starting 11? No chance. I don't think so. So it just tells you where the club is right now. And again, it's a rebuilding process. You know, we're trying to build. We're trying to get the young players to improve and get better. But right now, we're 12th in the league, mate.
12th.
We're 12th in the league.
It's mental.
You know, if we lose a couple of more games, we're down there in the relegation zone. We don't want to be in that relegation zone. A Chelsea Football Club should not be in a position where we are today. We need to start winning games. Enough about the rebuilding process. It's long gone now. The season is almost, you know, we have 22 games left. We have to start winning
games. So come on then, John. Come on then. Cut through this. I know you're a Poch fan. He's under pressure now,
He's under pressure right now. I'll put it that way. He's under pressure right now. Enough about the rebuilding process. Like we've said, I've backed him. I've come out and I've said we need to give him time. But I've seen the past few games right now, we're not doing it. It's Chelsea Football Club. You know, we're in the 12th position. We can't keep losing games. The fans at some point are going to turn on you.
Yeah.
We have to start winning games. I'm a big fan of Poch, what he does with younger players, but we need to start winning games.
16 games, just 19 points, 18 off the top. Of course, Liverpool setting the standard thus far after 16 games with 37 points. So you're 18 points off the top. You're just 10 points above Luton in the final relegation spot. You've spoken to me at length about Graham Potter. Chelsea were closer to relegation than they were a title race.
Yep.
If this was Graham Potter, he'd probably be gone.
He'd probably
right now.
Be gone,
he was
yeah.
not given a pre-season. You can tell I'm a Potter fan. I'm going to bat for him yet again. But what I'm saying is, I like Poch too, but you're Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
there's a project. Yes, he needs time, but he's got to string some results together, because that's ultimately what Graham didn't do. There was a project with Graham. He didn't win enough games. Eventually, he was sacked.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, when you look at it again, I'm not talking about pressure. You only look at City, they haven't won four games in a row. They didn't win four games in a row. And who was under pressure? Not under pressure. From the media.
Yeah.
You know,
questions
were asked. You know, Pep, forget about what he did last season. He won the fucking treble. And he hasn't won four games. And everybody start asking questions. Today, you can see the anger, the emotions in him today. I was watching him on the touchline. He looked like a manager who's under so much pressure. That comes down to how much he wants to win. The winning mentality that he has, that he's just installed into this Man City team. And I watched them today. That once they went down 1-0, the reaction from the team, you know, they came out in the second half and they won the game. This is what I need to see from this Chelsea side. You know, this is what we did when we were back in the day. We go down 1-0 in the, you know, the first half, come out the second half, and we play like lions. We come out flying and we win the game. I don't see that right now.
I'm loving how much of an old man you're sounding, John. Back in my day.
Back in my day. No, but it's true. I was talking to, you know, let's not say anything, you know, about
too much about Jose.
Yeah, let's not say too much about Jose, obviously. If he did what he did to us back in the day, if he did to what he, you know, the way, the motivation and how he got us to win games, it doesn't matter how much, what, whichever way he got us to win games. If he did half of that to this current Chelsea team,
he'll
be sued.
You're not wrong. He'd be in jail, I think.
He'd be in jail.
There's no doubt about that.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is Mikel Obi, former Super Eagles and Chelsea midfielder, urging you all to sign up with BetWinner. BetWinner is a platform that offers sports betting, casino and games. Also, you stand a chance in getting up to 200% bonus on registration. Remember to bet responsibly.
Last Chelsea clean sheet, John. These are sobering stats, I know. Fulham on October the 2nd, just 3 clean sheets in 16 league games this season. They're struggling at the top end of the pitch. We haven't even got to Armando Broja, who started up front today.
Oh, my God.
Again, he's not at the level.
No, he's not at the level. It's not
he's
at the
just
level.
Not.
I mean, again, we've come out, a lot of us have come out and said Jackson is doing, you know, is he a Chelsea striker? But, you know, he runs around.
There.
Exactly.
There's something about him.
He runs around. He likes to run behind the defenders. You know, he's always in a position where he's creating chances or half a goal, whatever it is. He's always there. Is he a Chelsea striker?
You have
to be honest, I have my doubts with him. It's not a, it's, is he a striker that you look at him and say, okay, let's give him another two years or whatever. Is he going to become a finished article? Is he going to start scoring goals?
You hope
I don't see that. You know what I mean? And that's why when I talk about Victor Osimhen coming to the club, for me, I'll sit back the club to go for Victor Osimhen.
Yeah.
I think we need a striker, a finished article, a young striker who is a finished article, who can get us goals. And that's what Victor will give us. Victor will give us goals when he comes to this Chelsea side.
I must say, John, I do look at the Chelsea team and the Chelsea squad, and it the mind boggles that £1 billion has been spent on that. There's no leaders. I'm looking at an awful lot of potential with big question marks over whether they actually fulfill that potential. To your point, I'm not seeing many finished articles.
Exactly. That's the question, Chris. When you talk about it, we talk about leaders. Talk about leaders. That is so important. The spine of the team. I keep talking about it. When we were at the club, JT in the dressing room, how many times has he gone to players right in the middle of, in the dressing room, in the second half, and the manager is speaking. He comes to you right there, grabs you by the neck and tells you to wake the fuck up. You know what I mean? A Drogba comes to you and tells you to wake up. We need to win this game.
You wake up.
You have to wake up. So when I look at that dressing room, I don't see those guys. A Frank Lampard screaming at you, in the middle of the park. I had lots of fights with Frank, with Michael Essien, with Michael Ballack. I was young, but I had fights with them. You know what I mean? We all wanted to win. It doesn't matter what it was. We all wanted to win. It's all right. You can look at me and say, I'm a young player. But if you're not doing what you have to do, I have the right to scream at you.
Yeah.
I have the right to scream at you. We have to have a little bit of fight on the pitch. And then at the end of the game, if we win the game, it's all down to the team. It's all about winning, and that's what we had. And when I look at this Chelsea team today, tell me one time when you've seen them argue on the pitch.
No.
Never.
Never. They look
nobody, soft. Exactly. Nobody argues on the pitch. Nobody.
But same with United.
Exactly. Same with United.
Throw Man United, my team, into the mix as well. It's the exact same, John.
Yeah.
I see so many similarities between those two teams right
exactly.
Now.
I look at City today. If you watch the City game today, you could see Rodri, Diaz screaming at the players. Yeah. You need to wake up. You need to, I saw winners. I saw the mentality of leaders.
That's
I don't
it.
See that exactly. The that, mentality that,
that's
of leaders.
It. Winners.
Exactly.
And leaders.
I don't see that at this Chelsea team. And it's going to, if we need to start winning games, I don't care. Right now, the rebuilding process should be thrown out of the window. It's time to start winning games.
Next four games before the end of the year for Chelsea: Sheffield United at the Bridge, Wolves away, Crystal Palace back at the Bridge, and then they finish Kenilworth Road against Luton Town on December the 30th. Let me ask you this, John, popping you on the spot. Does Mauricio Pochettino, from what you're seeing, does he see out the season as Chelsea boss?
Well, not if we keep going to the race where we're going, not winning games. Definitely not. I don't see it. It doesn't matter. If we don't win the next couple of games, I don't care.
It's Sheffield United and Wolves.
Yeah, exactly.
With the greatest respect, Palace and Luton.
Exactly. If we don't win those games, something has to be done. I mean, I'm a big Poch fan, but this is Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's all I have to say. This is Chelsea Football Club. We win games. We win trophies. It's all right to say the rebuilding process. You've had a whole pre-season.
Absolutely. No European competition.
You know European competition. You always have a week to prepare for these games. You're not going to talk. There's no complaints about tiredness. You have a very young team, a very energetic team. Right now, we need to see your idea, the way you want the team to play. Your philosophy, the way you want the team to play. It's been how many games now in the season?
16.
16 games in the season. And we have about 22 league games left. We have to start winning games. Enough about the rebuilding process. It's time to win games.
Taking the Mikel, this is the Obi-Wan podcast made possible, of course, by Betwinner. We're keeping you all on tenterhooks for the special one. Jose Mourinho, an exclusive. John Obi, Mikel's got friends in high places. Jose, the gaffer, the boss. Trust me when I say you do not want to miss this. Monday, December the 18th. Before we wrap up this edition of Taking the Mikel, a couple of other talking points I want to get your thoughts on, John. Got to start. Man United. If Mauricio Pochettino if there's question marks still there for him, Eric Ten Hag is shuffling his way to the exit door. You're shaking your head at me. Man United 0, Bournemouth 3 this past weekend. Oh. It was car crash.
It was. I watched the game. I mean, it was horrible what I saw. Manchester United Football Club.
Are they playing for that manager? Are they done?
I don't think so. What I saw yesterday, I think when you look at the body language of the players, it says, we want to change. We want a change of manager. That's what it says. The body language of the players show that they want the manager out of the door. Nobody's running around putting an effort for that manager.
Nope.
I don't think so. Even when Rashford came in, you could see It's like he didn't want to come on the pitch. So for me, I think the players they've had enough, and they're not playing for that manager. I think you can tell. And standing when I watch him, I feel so sorry for him. He's standing on the touchline, you know, looking at him. It's a manager that has a lot of motions. He wants to be in the, you know, he wants to succeed, you know, with his Manchester United team.
He looks drained.
Exactly. I think the players have had enough.
It's a bit harsh to name players, but I will, because I'm a journalist, so I can do this, and you can give me an honest opinion if you believe with what I'm saying. Anthony Martial must be the worst player in the Premier League, John. And when I say that, people will be thinking, oh, the boy's skillful. I don't care that he's got technical attributes. His work ethic, his general demeanour offends me.
Yeah.
How has that boy lasted 9 years?
I think that's the word. That's the word there. The demeanour. His body language.
Oh.
For me, when I look at him sometimes I forget that sometimes when I see him on the pitch, I remember, is he still in this Manchester United team?
9 years he's been at a football club.
9 years he's been in this football club.
He's testimonial next year. It's mental.
He's not getting enough of that, is he?
I would absolutely create a little bit of a skirmish if that man gets a blooming testimonial. David De Gea hasn't even been given one of those yet, and hopefully sense prevails on
that. Yeah, exactly. But he should get one. I mean, he should definitely get one.
Anthony Martial is the poster boy of how standards have fallen at that football.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's one player that, you know, I never seem to understand what he does at a football club. He comes in, he walks around the pitch, he moans, he shakes his head.
Yeah.
And you look at him, do something. At least if you're not playing well, kick somebody. Like, you know, Ryan Rogan says, start a fight.
Yeah, do something.
Do something. Kick somebody.
Show you care,
exactly. Anthony Martial is opposite of that. He does absolutely nothing of that sort. And for me, when I look at him, every time I see him on the pitch, I think, oh, fuck me, he's still in Manchester United team, is it? And I mean, again, when I look at, you know, the likes of Bruno Fernandes, I know Roy Keane said he doesn't deserve the captaincy armband.
Who else is there?
Who else is there?
You look around that football club.
Who else is there?
It's a mess. It is a mess. If Chelsea's a mess, Man United's even
exactly,
bigger one.
Exactly. So we're looking at, you know, like, you know, the players that you get you goals in Manchester United. McTominay.
Hey, I'll have nothing said.
Nothing.
The
big Scotsman. I mean, it tells you how bad it is. You know, he's the top scorer of Manchester United.
Five goals.
Exactly. And you have Harry Maguire, who's been frozen out of the team.
Who brought back
for months. Now he's been brought back, and he's the best player in the team. It shows you how bad the team is.
Erik ten Hag has got the week from hell. Bayern Munich midweek. They need to win that and hope the result goes their way over in Copenhagen. That's to see them into the last 16 of the Champions League. I don't think that happens.
Nope.
And then next weekend, you know,
after
they
coming out of the back of Bayern losing 5-1.
5-1, exactly. Yeah. To Frankfurt this past weekend in the Bundesliga.
That doesn't help.
So it doesn't. You're absolutely right. I didn't even think of that, John. Yeah. So Bayern will look to have a reaction.
They need to bounce back. Yeah, reaction.
And then next weekend, you know where United are?
Anfield.
Liverpool. Top of the table, Liverpool. The scene of, and I was there last season, Liverpool 7, Man United 0. I'm not going to say it's going to be 7-0 next weekend.
I don't think it's going to be 7.
But it could still be a long afternoon.
It's probably going to be about 2-3, I think.
I mean, And if he loses both of them, he's done. He just lost 3-0 over Bournemouth.
Yeah, I think if he loses both, I think he's done. Should be. Easy. It's the same for Chelsea as well. I mean, if he loses Sheffield United, is it Sheffield United or Wolves?
Sheffield United at home, Wolves away.
Ooh, Wolves.
I mean, if they were to lose at home to Sheffield United, unless we forget, Forest have gone there, bit of a smash and grab job this season already.
Yep.
They've won.
Yep.
You know, if Villa did likewise, they went, you know, Villa are proving themselves to be a good team, but they've gone to the bridge. They sprung out. I think it was Ollie Watkins, wasn't it, that scored the winner. So teams have shown the blueprint to beat Chelsea, the bridge. If Sheffield United, who had a great result at the weekend, 1-0 over Brentford, if they go there next weekend and win the bridge, and you know what it's like,
I know.
The natives will be restless.
The fans will turn on them. Definitely. Yeah, the fans will turn on him for sure. If we don't win against Sheffield United
at home,
the fans will definitely turn on him. I know the fans, they give you time. But when you start losing games against the lesser team, they will turn on you for sure. And if we don't lose against Sheffield United, I think for me, he will be under massive, massive, massive pressure.
Erik ten Hag and Mauricio Pochettino, two men that are facing huge questions over the course of the next few days. One man who is not and can do no wrong, seemingly, got to get your thoughts on Aston Villa, John.
Ooh.
It's now, I think, 16 successive wins.
16 or 15, I think, yeah. 15, yeah.
At Villa Park. Massive.
Just
incredible.
Yeah. I watched them yesterday against Arsenal. The way they started the game, you know, until right about when they scored the goal, the pressure, the way they played like a big team. They played like a team that knows exactly what they came to do. They knew exactly what the way they wanted to play, passing the ball, the pressure up high, you know, keeping the pressure up high, you know, the block up high as well, making sure that Arsenal couldn't play out from the back. And then they got that goal and then they sat back a bit. For me, I watched Villa yesterday. They have an identity.
That is
the thing. They have an identity. The way they were to play, Unai Emery has done an amazing, fantastic job with
that Villa team. Honestly, you know where I'm going with this?
I wouldn't say they're
not title challengers.
No, they're not title contenders.
Top four.
I think this season is top five, isn't it, to qualify for the Champions
Potentially, yeah.
Because obviously City did.
Yeah, the coefficients as well.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right. The new rules.
So if it's a top five, I will put Villa there. Apple Villa there.
But they're not title challengers.
No, not yet.
Liverpool top of the league. Of course, Arsenal beaten by Villa.
Yeah.
Man City coming from behind to beat Luton to close that gap. Liverpool, Arsenal, City. Yeah. Are you still sticking with City
Still sticking with City. I think like Pepper said.
Did you say we? Oh, John Obi Mikel's become a City fan. You heard it here first. He's jumped ship from one blue team. You've done a Frank Lampard. It's what you've done, John.
No, obviously.
I know.
I'm a blue on that. But then, obviously, I just love the way this City team play. I mean, it's a team that every Saturday, Sunday, I have to watch a City side
and I take your point. Yeah, I know you watched them against Luton. They weren't great in the first 45.
No, they weren't great.
They fell behind, but as good winning teams.
Exactly.
As they do, they find a way and they go up a gear.
Exactly.
It always amazed me.
That's
watching
the thing, exactly.
The really good teams, when they've had an off 45, an off 60 minutes, they just find a gear or two.
They turn it up. They go up a gear. And that's what the winning team, the winning mentality, that's what you get from this big club, these big players. I was watching them again today against Luton, this Luton side. You know, Luton were very physical. They made the game very awkward for this City side, very physical. They were kicking the hell out of the players. But then, second half, they came out. They found their way. They kept on passing the ball, kept on moving. You could see that they went up a gear, the energy, the arrogance. They came out with a certain arrogance to dominate the game, and they pinned Luton back there until they got the equalizer and then got the winning goal. It just shows the character of this City side and how much they want to win, the winning mentality. Again, I keep saying, the leaders in the team, Ruben Diaz, the Rodri, the Kyle Walker, you know, these players, I could see them today leading the team, screaming and shouting on that pitch. It just reminds me when I watched I'm smiling because this is what we used to do. We used to have a fight with each other on the pitch.
Yeah.
On the pitch. It doesn't matter, we're best friends after that.
Just
but
get
on the
result.
Pitch,
get
let's,
the result.
Let's get the fucking result and win the game. Yep. Let's get the 3 points. That's what we want. Right now, I don't see that from this Chelsea. It's all nice. It's all friendly. It's soft. Nobody's screaming. Nobody's giving instruction to anybody.
It's all a bit nice, isn't it? You're so right.
Too nice. We can't win games being too nice. Mourinho used to say that to us. You can't win games being nice. You guys have to go out there and be fucking nasty. Because they are fucking nasty to you. You all go out there and be even mean. Be fucking nasty. Kick the hell out of them and make sure you win that game. And we go out and win the game.
Well, talking of Jose Mourinho, we can give you a little taste of what's upcoming. Monday, 18th of December, you want to be subscribing to the Obi-Wan podcast made possible by BetWinner. Because, well, why? Well, it's because it's the special one. Episode 7, 6 episodes done. John Terry, Frank Lampard, Victor Osimhen, Florent Malouda, Roberto Di Matteo, Gianfranco Zola. It's taken us to the magnificent 7th, John, Monday, December 18th. And I think we were buzzing when we recorded this past week.
The one and only. The special one.
It's going to make
waves,
isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to obviously get the special one on the pod. I mean, what a fantastic feeling it was. Somebody who never does
podcasts.
You know, podcasts.
He just does not.
You know, all I have to say is massive, massive thanks to him and his team to, you know, giving us this time and making sure they support the Obi-Wan podcast. So if you haven't, make sure you guys tune in December the 18th.
Yes.
You know, subscribe now and make sure it's going to be fucking awesome.
It is. Tell your friends about it. Tell your mum and dad. Tell your auntie and uncle. Tell everyone about it. Trust me when I say over an hour in conversation with Jose Mourinho. You do not want to miss this. Box office stuff. And there are some little gems in there that I think it's fair to say will be making headlines across the globe.
This is Mikel Obi, former Super Eagles and Chelsea midfielder, urging you all to sign up with BetWinner. BetWinner is a platform that offers sports betting, casino and games. Also, you stand a chance in getting up to 200% bonus on registration. Remember to bet responsibly.
But that is it. I promised John Obi Mikel half an hour. We're a little over that on this edition of Taking the Mikel. Hot off the press. Chelsea fans, we'd love to hear from you. Of course, you can get in touch with us. Do follow us on our social media platforms at Obi-Wan Podcasts. If you've got a thought, get it into us. You can DM us on our Instagram. You can get us on X as well. We'd love to hear your thoughts. But I guess the message from John Obi Mikel is he's unhappy tonight. He's not going to sleep well tonight.
Nope.
He's still very much in the porch camp.
Yeah,
but things, yeah, if they don't pick up in the next few
have
weeks,
change,
John,
yeah,
it's exactly going to be a long 2024,
yeah.
I think.
Big porch fan, big fan of the team and what we're doing, but we need to start winning games. It's about time we need to start fucking winning games.
I love it. That's a man who is angry tonight. Right, he's angry at me now because I kept on 33 minutes, not the 30 I promised him. Right, John, looking forward to next Monday, December the 18th. I'll say it again, the Obi-Wan podcast made possible by BetWinner with the one and only Jose Mourinho. Until then, folks, ta-da.
Sports Social Podcast Network.